The scripture at Romans 13 reads, "Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be ordained are of God." Who constitute the higher powers here mentioned? Many hold that the officers of the nations are state of the higher powers. Reason alone shows us that such claim is not true. The powers in the various nations are at conflict, and all are contrary to God. In Russia, God and the Bible are completely ignored. In Germany, the true followers of Christ Jesus are cruelly persecuted and thrown into prison because they meet together and study God's Word. Surely God would not ordain such powers. The foregoing text is addressed exclusively to those who have agreed to follow in the footsteps of Jesus. Text is preceded by these words, to wit, "To those beloved of God called to be saints." This proves that the text has no reference to worldly governors or powers, but that it is limited to God's organization. Who then are the higher powers of God's organization? That answer given in the scriptures is this, to wit, Jehovah God is the supreme power. Christ Jesus, the Son of God, is the chief officer to whom God has committed all power and authority to execute Jehovah's purpose. It is written in Psalm 62, "Power belongeth unto God." At Matthew 28, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth," said Jesus. At John 5, he said, "God hath committed unto Christ Jesus all power and authority to execute his judgment." The apostles were the first true followers of Christ Jesus on earth, and Jesus sent them forth as his representatives and endowed them with certain specific powers over other men. The apostles, therefore, were, by the Lord's grace, made visible rulers in the church and constituted a power higher in the church than others. And for that reason, the apostle wrote to the church in Hebrews 13, "Obey them that have rule over you, for they watch for your souls as they must give account." Everything with Jehovah God is orderly, and he commands those who enter into his organization to be orderly and therefore subject to his rule or law. Anyone who opposes the rules of God's organization as laid down in the scriptures is an opponent of God. As further proof that the higher powers do not refer to earthly governors, it is written in Romans 13:4 concerning Christ Jesus, the head of the church, and the apostles to whom specific power was granted, "Rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil." Many of the rulers of the nations of earth are a terror to good works. It is certain that God would not ordain some with power to persecute his people and defame his name. The rulers mentioned by the apostle are the ones upon whom Jehovah has laid the obligation to perform duties in his organization. Then the scripture text adds, "For he is the minister of God, he beareth not the sword in vain." Without a doubt, this part of the text applies to the Lord Jesus Christ, to whom God has committed power and authority. That Jesus is the one to whom God sends forth to execute his judgment, it is written concerning him, "Gird thy sword upon thy thigh, O most mighty, with thy glory and thy majesty rise. Thou lovest righteousness and hatest wickedness. Therefore God hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows." It is wholly inconsistent to say that the higher powers are those men of the world who hold the offices. The devil has seized upon this scripture and caused men to misapply it in order to compel other men to be subject to all manner of wicked rules and thus cause them to be unfaithful to God. When you get the right view of this text, you see that the supreme power is Jehovah, and that Jehovah and Christ Jesus are the higher power, and that every person who remains faithful to God must willingly be obedient to such higher powers. Moses was an important man in God's typical organization, and Moses was a type foreshadowing Christ Jesus, concerning whom it is written in Acts 3, that everyone who would not be obedient to the Lord Jesus Christ, the greater Moses, should die. All these scripture texts prove that those who have become a part of God's organization by fully agreeing to do his will must then, in order to be faithful, be obedient to God at all times. Does that mean that a Christian is disloyal to the country in which he lives and can violate the laws of that country with impunity? No, it means nothing of the kind. The question as to the meaning of loyalty will be considered on another occasion.